You're listening to The Parting Shot with H. Allen Scott.
Hey there, I'm coming at you with a surprise episode because, well, I had to. You see, everyone and their mother seems to be watching The Traitors on Peacock, and I just spoke with the latest traitor to be sent home, Parvati Shallow. Now, I know I use the word iconic a lot, but Parvati is and always will be iconic. She rose to fame on Survivor, winning the reality competition series in 2008. She remains sort of just one of the most popular players ever to have played Survivor. She's, like I said, iconic. The reason why she was so iconic is because she straddles that sort of world of nice and evil. You know what I mean? Like, she's kind of both. She got the nickname Black Widow for leading an all-female Black Widow brigade during her season that she won, which should tell you a lot. Now, when she showed up on Traitors, I legit freaked out. You see, she's a natural player for this game. If you're unfamiliar, popular reality stars are put in a castle in Scotland for a game of like murder, essentially, where there are traitors and there are faithfuls. And it's the job of the faithfuls to uncover the traitors before the end of the game. Now, the traitors, they have the power to murder players throughout the game. In the beginning, Parvati wasn't a traitor, which really surprised me. But as the game progressed, she was recruited, of course, as a traitor because, duh, she's the Black Widow. She needs to be a traitor. She quickly started strategizing, not only on how to take out some of the faithfuls, but also how to take out her fellow traitors, which was wild. She teamed up with traitor Dan Giesling from Big Brother, who I spoke with on a past episode. You should go listen to that after he got voted out, to take out their fellow traitor, Phaedra Parks from Real Housewives of Atlanta. That failed miserably. And like I said, Dan got sent home primarily because Peter Weber from The Bachelor basically led this campaign against Dan and Parvati. And then Parvati shifted, tried to recruit Peter in her last episode, which was so good. I don't know how she did it. He refused being offered a traitor. But then when she was sort of wooing him in this last episode, she kind of got him to go over to her side, which only Parvati could do. Anyway, she played her last card. She put the spotlight against her fellow traitor, Phaedra, and, well, that backfired. But it was a close vote. It was a very close vote, but it did backfire on her, and she got sent home in an epic moment for this season. So talking with her was so much fun. You're going to love this chat, especially if you're watching The Traitors. Like, Parvati is, she doesn't hold back. She tells it like it is. She is just fun. You're going to love it. So now that you're all cut up, I'm going to shut up because you need to listen to my chat with Parvati Shallow. You're welcome.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello.
You finally meet.
I have been a longtime fan of yours. You are the Black Widow. You are everything. But now I think you have a new nickname after last night, the Duchess of Deception and the Mistress of Murder. I think that might be better than Black Widow.
It's very powerful. I said I want to make t-shirts.
Why don't you? You need to. Do it soon.
Yeah, bedazzled t-shirts or headbands.
Yeah.
Mistress of Murder.
Do the headbands. Market those. I was going to say, I have a question about that, but let's get into things. So how do you feel like in general about your gameplay?
I felt like my gameplay was, it was the best I could possibly do in a very new, very intense situation. I don't think I'm a very good liar. So like when I am called upon to like withhold information or lie, I get weird. Yeah. I just do. So if anyone knows me, they're going to know something's up because I act a bit off. So I was nervous about just being able to lie for this experience. But I trust myself in terms of missions. Like I trust myself when there's a challenge upon me, when I have a mission, like the poisoning, I knew I could handle that. And that was really fun for me. So I felt like my gameplay with traders was very messy. It was very off the cuff. And it was like as best as I could do under like the most high intense pressured situation.
I mean, you are just based on your reputation and what we know of you from Survivor, to me, you are the perfect traders player in that this is what, from what we've seen on Survivor, you are made for. And in a weird way, I feel like it kind of got twisted because you came in. I was shocked you weren't a trader from the beginning, but then you were recruited. And then all of a sudden, were you prepared for how almost good of a player Phaedra kind of is?
I didn't know Phaedra.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the Bravo. I don't watch the Bravo shows. I don't watch really much reality TV at all. So I was very surprised to see how incredible she played inside the castle. That was the hardest part for me, was sitting still at breakfast, pretending to be surprised, like asking the right questions. They're consoling people, knowing that I had just killed their friend, or like walking the funeral march right next to Akin, who I just poisoned, who I had like a friendship with. Phaedra could do that with no problems. And then when we get into the turret, I'm like, hey, guys, like, Dan, Phaedra, I'm having a hard time. This is hard. And they're like, what are you talking about? This is so easy. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. you're really in, like, doing it.
Yeah.
So, like, the turret was my safe space.
Yeah.
I could, like, let my guard down and be real only there. And Phaedra was still constantly in character all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's really good.
She's really. And the other thing, too, that I'm really good friends with Carson from Survivor a couple seasons ago. And we were watching the first episode and you and Sandra, that meeting. I mean, for a Survivor fan, that moment was just everything. Were you surprised to see Sandra there? And are you? What do you think of her gameplay? Because she's also doing a very subtle killing it job.
Yeah, I was surprised. First of all, very surprised to see her, not excited about it because I knew I needed to make friends quickly in the castle and I knew I already had a not friend. Yeah. So I was like, shoot, what am I going to do with this person? And that changed really quickly. Thanks to Peppermint. Honestly, if Peppermint hadn't done that, I think Sandra and I would have been circling each other like sharks. So that was very helpful. And I was grateful that we had that moment to quickly bury things and move forward. Sandra is playing the same game she plays on Survivor.
Yeah.
She's anyone but me. She's low profile. She's funny.
Yeah.
She's really funny. So people enjoy her in these competition shows because she's like, says the most blunt, direct stuff. And she says it in this like Sandra way where you're like, can't be mad at her for it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so true. It's so true. And what's so interesting about you is that like you're similar in that you are actually funny to watch and you have these moments of like when Phaedra told you, you know, that people don't like you or whatever, and you seemed genuinely surprised, which makes great television because you're right. You probably are a bad liar in life. But on TV, it's like, well, we're seeing you as a great liar. So there is this sort of comedy in that you maybe don't see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I've had such an interesting experience watching myself play this game. Like when I play Survivor, it's so grueling and traumatic that I have a very hard time watching the show afterwards. With Traitors, there is a campy, theatrical, over the top kind of hilarious tongue in cheek element to it that I played into as a contestant. So I had a lot more fun watching the show.
Yeah.
And watching myself and being like surprised at how I acted and surprised because the way I felt inside didn't translate through the screen. So I'm like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. I look way more calm and confident than I felt like a lot of the time. And then with Phaedra in the turret, like the turret was the place, like that was the place to really get campy and go kind of hog wild. So I had a lot of fun with that.
Well, but you do, even in your Survivor days, just knowing you from the beginning to now, like, I mean, from the beginning of your reality television career to now, like, you do have sort of a queer camp sensibility to you that, like, you are that sort of the queer person's go-to, like, let's go talk shit in the corner. You know what I mean? Like, you are, you do have that mood to you. And I don't know if you realize that, but like, that's all I want to do with you is go talk shit in the corner, you know?
Oh my God, let's do it. Are we doing it right now?
I think we are, yes. And everyone's listening to it, which is the best part. That's the queerest thing about it. We just can't shut up. We're so loud about it. No, what's interesting about your game is that you do have this sort of like even just with trying in the last episode, trying to sort of recruit Peter, which is iconic that even Peter was so against you and only you would somehow be able to almost convince Peter to not be against you. And I was so blown away by how much of a mastermind you were in doing that, even though it wasn't necessarily fully successful. And it's probably going to hurt his game in coming episodes. How do you feel about that move with Peter? And were you surprised by his gameplay?
I was shocked by his gameplay. He was doing it. Yeah. And I was really proud of him. I messaged him afterwards. I was like, I hope you're really proud of yourself the way you played, because it was fun. It was really fun to have that kind of tension in the castle with someone. Cause it was like, all right, if people are just going to vote me out and then not talk to me, that's boring.
Yeah.
But if someone is going to be like an actual nemesis, then that's fun. And I can play with that. So I was grateful to him for being that for me. Once the whole plan blew up with the Bergy thing in our faces, I was like, okay, at least I have someone to kind of like kick heat off of.
Yeah.
I appreciated that. And then once he and Trishelle came up with that strategy to keep me around, I was like, yes, it's brilliant. If you think that I'm a traitor, like, keep me, get rid of the one who you're not sure of. And then if you're also, if we have a good relationship and we're now kind of aligned, then you probably think I'm not going to murder you.
Yeah.
So it's a really smart move. And it, I knew I just had to really double down on the sincerity.
Yeah.
I had to like match Peter's sincerity because he's oozing sincerity.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying to me.
It is. I know it so is. Yeah.
It's so annoying. Yeah. I'm like, can you stop for 1 second being this hero savior of the faithfuls? Like, come on, be a traitor. Like, have some fun. Play with me.
This is the queers in the corner talking shit moment. That's that moment is when you're just like, you're boring being nice. Let's go in the corner, you know? Like,
yes, that's it. I was, and that's what I said when he didn't accept our proposal. Yeah. I was like, oh, how boring.
Yeah, I know. How boring is that? Just, oh, Peter. I hate the nice guy. He's the Mr. Rogers of the house. You know what I mean?
I hate the nice guy.
Yeah.
And there were so many of them.
Yeah. Yes. Even Dan was kind of a nice guy.
Dan, Bergy, Peter, John.
Mm-hmm. I know. But I mean, but also just like your season of Survivor that you won, the women around you aren't the nice ones. They're actually kind of in this season of Survivor, the women are just, I mean, even last season with Cerie, but the women in general, the groups of women in this house are just so strong.
Yes. I think that it mirrors society.
Yeah.
I really do. I think this is what's happening in our world. The women have to be really strong. We have to be assertive and we have to show up with our mind thinking in multiple different levels, strategically, emotionally, socially, like performance-wise, because we are not going to do well and succeed in the world unless we're thinking that way. And the men are kind of like, they're a little softer and they play into this archetype of the hero savior because they want to look good and they want to be the Disney prince. And it's like, well, stop.
There's a reason why the princesses are more popular at Disney. There's a reason for that.
Yeah. No one remembers the prince's name. They all look the same.
Yeah.
And they're so boring. they all do the same thing. They just come in at the end and rescue someone. Lame.
So lame. Right. So lame.
Get a personality.
Be a little evil. I know. I mean, that's why we love you so much. That's why, like, when the table last during the table sort of moment, it did seem like maybe it was going to happen, that the heat was going to finally be on Phaedra again, because Dan tried that and it backfired on Dan so much. And that it was so close last night that it really feels like a house divided. And that to me is the Parvati that I want. I want her to at least go out
dividing that house and making everyone crazy. And that is exactly what you did. Were you surprised at how the table went and like how close it actually was?
I think if John hadn't have made his ending speech, Phaedra would have gone home.
Really?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. I think Sandra and CT would have voted for Phaedra if John hadn't have like laid it on so thick and kind of galvanized the vote at the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that, this is a question that I thought a little bit, because I hate saying this about Sandra, because I do love Sandra, but there is a part of me that thinks with Sandra and CT, with that vote, that they do often swing with where the crowd's going because they don't want attention on them. Like there is this sort of like, they'll go, they won't do a move that you do, which is sort of just stand out and bold and do the thing. They'll kind of save that for the end. Is that their gameplay, do you think?
Yeah. And I think both of them had suspicion on them. Like people were suspicious of Sandra and CT. They thought one of Sandra or me was a traitor, they thought. Mm-hmm. So before Peter's little thing with Bergie worked out, there was more suspicion on Sandra than there was on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she always plays the same game. It's like anyone but me. She doesn't really stay loyal. She doesn't really have like that loyalty that would keep her in an alliance or have her like stick up for somebody.
Yeah.
In the way that I do, in the way that Dan did. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't surprised. But yeah, I think your assessment is accurate of those two.
It is interesting because like Sandra does keep winning a lot of time. I mean, she does have a strategy that has at least proven successful on Survivor. So like, who do you think might win this? Do you think Sandra could actually win this or Phaedra? Like, do you think either of them could?
Phaedra is, there's a lot of heat on Phaedra now. I hope that she can shake it. She has a solid crew of housewives who are like not going to turn on her, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I think she has a chance. She's so brilliant at this game and she's good at deflecting any kind of suspicion off of her.
Yeah.
So it's possible. Sandra, I think, could also win because Sandra's sharp and she's a gamer. So she knows like strategically it makes sense for her to keep, if she thinks Phaedra is a traitor, it would make sense for her to keep Phaedra around and then like pretend like she doesn't think Phaedra's a traitor and then banish her at the end. So I think it could go either way with either the faithfuls figuring it out and working the strategy or Phaedra having enough people to make it to the end. But I think people would banish Phaedra at the very end.
Yeah, I could see that too. My last question for you is the headbands. I'm dying. I'm dying. I mean, as a gay homosexual, as soon as the headbands happened, I was just like, she went to Zara right before she left and she bought 40 headbands. And I love her for that because that is exactly what I would do. Did you think out? Did you strategize this headband strategy? Was it a part of your gameplay? And are you surprised at how much of a viral sensation the headbands have become?
I love how viral the headbands have become. I love the groups of gay men wearing headbands.
Yes.
And posting them on their stories and I repost them because I'm so happy about it. Yeah. And all these guys are like, I know what my Halloween costume is. It's you. I'm so happy about this. I really didn't know. I just knew that I wanted to play a character. Yeah. And Blair Waldorf was my fashion inspiration and she wears headbands on Gossip Girl. So I said to my stylist, who I had 2 weeks to prepare all my clothes and stuff, I said, make me Blair Waldorf in a castle in Scotland. And so she sent me these things and she got that white headband with the pearls.
Yes.
I was like, this is insane. This headband is so absurd. I've never worn anything like this in my life, but I am going to commit to this because this is my character. And you know what is crazy? I only brought 4 headbands.
So only 4?
I got to the end. I threw, cause she'd only sent me 3. I wasn't going to wear a headband every day, but then as the show was going on and the contestants are like, oh, your headbands. Like, what's the deal? Like, and I'm like, oh, shoot. This is now like my trademark look and I don't have enough.
Yeah.
I'm like talking to the wardrobe. I'm like, can you Amazon Prime me some headbands over here? I need some.
So iconic. I can't even tell you how much I love you so much. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me. I hope to see you in real life at some point. I know I will. And
we must.
You're the best. You're just the best.
Aw, thank you.
Queen Parvati. I love her and every one of her headbands. And if you're loving The Traitors on Peacock, you have so much more to look forward to here on The Parting Shot, because I'll be speaking with other players sent home and I'll be chatting with the winner, a big, big, big long chat with the winner, and they'll also be in the magazine. So stick around because there's a ton more to come when it comes to the traders. And thanks for listening. For more, head to newsweek.com. And until then, watch something fun, maybe the latest episode of Traders, and have a great day.